And watch as the stats drop. Already skipped 9 frames. That's fun. I guess it was just the startup frames. All right, what's going on, nerds? We are streaming live. It is Friday night. We're doing live news. Just checking the health of all of the connections real quick. Get the chat up and running. And I think we're good to go. Let's go to, where is it? Ah! Cool. All right, everything is working, it would appear. Hey, we are joined once again with Chris Ortiz. So, since that's the case, let's talk about the Jurassic World Dominion. I can spell. Goodness. All right, sorry. I am in chat trying to... Okay, so we're gonna start with just jumping right into the news, but we just immediately have been joined, so we're gonna start there. So I have read more in passing and kind of sort of listened to a couple of reviews for Jurassic World, not the least of which being the pitch meeting for Jurassic World Dominion. And yeah, it doesn't sound like it's all that great, aside from the nostalgia bait. So correct me if I'm wrong, man, because I have definitely not heard great things. As I'm waiting for the delay, let's get into the new screen and we'll start reading the news, and we'll go back and forth between news and the Jurassic World, because yeah, it sounds like they're relying a little too much on the nostalgia, kind of like what you said in the comment on last week's live video. So Miss Marvel apparently not doing super well. The least watched Marvel show on Disney Plus. Not really a surprise. Not necessarily that speaks to the quality of the show. I haven't watched it yet, so I have no idea. But that's not exactly a character that a lot of people know, even though the namesake kind of you would expect to bring in a fair amount of people. I feel like because it's a Disney Plus show for a character that people haven't technically heard of, that was kind of to be expected just based on those two things alone. Kevin Smith's He-Man gets a season 2. We already talked about that in the regular season. It was honestly kind of disappointing. It was heavy on nostalgia. Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus, is that there was no motivating factors for it to be a good movie other than, oh, look, those guys were in the first thing. And that guy and those other characters that we have no idea what their names are, they were in the last thing that we saw, and that was about the extent of it. Bryce Dallas Howard outruns a velociraptor on foot at one point, and Chris Pratt chokes out a dinosaur. So yeah, I feel confident in my decision to, if I'm gonna see it, it's gonna be on streaming. And since you were talking last week with us, Christopher, the animated Ghostbusters movie, I don't know if you watched the regular episode this week, but the animated Ghostbusters movie has a director, so they're moving forward with that, as well as the animated series, so that's pretty exciting as well. Wonder Man, let's go into this one. Wonder Man in development at Marvel for Disney Plus. So, Wonder Man, for those that don't remember, was supposed to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And he was cut. So now he's coming out as a streaming series. And so let's read what Cosmic Book has to say. I'm going to check chat one more time. So, a Wonder Man series is in development at Marvel for the Disney Plus streaming service, with it said to be a comedy and or Hollywood satire. That's interesting. Details include the series is in its early stages of development by Shang-Chi director Destin Daniel Cretton, who will serve as executive producer and who could possibly direct episodes. So showrunner, I think, is probably the appropriate term there. And Andrew Guest will be writing the series, also known for a comedy. He did Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community and such. According to various insiders, the Wonder Woman series looks to be... Wait. Wonder Man series looks to be a comedy with Variety's Joe Otterson adding... Also heard that it's that this show could be a Hollywood satire. So this is rumor, then, it sounds like. Early stages... I mean, it comes from THR, so there's got to be something to it more than just... Let's go to the THR article, shall we? Yeah. Some of the scenes are kind of dragged on for a little too long. Some scenes where Owen and Claire could have died but survived. Yeah. That's really distracting when it's like the suspension of disbelief can only get you so far. And then past that, you're just asking a little bit much of the audience. All right. Excuse me. So THR has to say, Wonder Man is the latest Marvel superhero to get screen treatment. Shang-Chi, Legend of Ten Rings, filmmaker Destin Daniel Cretton. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so it's not rumor. This is legit. Development for what is being called Wonder Man is in early stages, but if things crackle, cameras could be rolling in 2023. So that means if they start shooting in 2023, we likely won't see it until 2024. So we're still 2 years away from seeing a Wonder Man series, because post on those things takes a little while. And then it just goes into who Wonder Man is. Wonder Man is one of Marvel's oldest characters, first introduced in 1964 in the pages of Avengers number 9. He was initially a villain and only appeared sporadically in the early Marvel age, but was reconceived as a hero and Avenger in the late 70s. Interesting. In the 80s, the character really came into his own, blah, blah, blah. All right, we don't necessarily need a history on Wonder Man. We just know that it's going to be in the Disney Plus series canon. His character has ties to both Vision and Scarlet Witch in the comics. Wonder Man could also be something... They keep saying Wonder Woman, which is wrong. Something of a WandaVision Season 2. Yeah, that's cool. It set Simon Williams up in the WandaVision late, quote-unquote, lane. Which would follow Wanda in Doctor Strange 2, as well as WandaVision spinoff show Agatha, House of Harkness, featuring the villain played by Katherine Hahn. Cool. I'm all right with that. That's pretty cool. Marvel.com designs Wonder Man. Yeah, we don't care. Flash movie in doubt, following Ezra Miller being an inappropriate person. Here's the other one that sounded pretty cool. And then we have things to get to in other areas. Basically, like the other movies, a dinosaur DNA experiment gone wrong. Yeah, only now they're like in the regular world, similarly to the way the original trilogy expanded, right? Like, that's kind of how the Jurassic World trilogy has gone, is now they're in the real world and they're causing all kinds of havoc. Even though, scientifically speaking, that's not super... I mean, it is a movie about recreating dinosaurs. I understand that. But still, there's only so far you can go there. I was coming in here to open up another tab off stream because it's going to be very jumbled. And we'll just use that to copy paste. All right, back into Game of Thrones Jon Snow sequel series. Kit Harington coming back for it. HBO is bringing back Kit Harington as Jon Snow in a Game of Thrones sequel series. The details include the series is in early development and will follow the events of the main Game of Thrones series, where Jon Snow found out his true name is Aegon Targaryen, potential heir to the Iron Throne. Last we saw of Jon Snow was he was exiled from Westeros. I feel like that was a voluntary exile, but whatever. And journeyed north of the Wall with the Wildlings, and Bronn Stark ended up becoming king. Bronn the Broken. A lot of fans weren't too happy with the final season. Yeah, because it was garbage. And the Jon Snow series could add more to the story and fix things in the eyes of the fans. Ooh, that's a lot to put on the shoulders of a show that theoretically won't even happen in Westeros. So, as THR mentions, Jon Snow series could open the door for other surviving characters to reappear, such as Arya Stark, Sansa Stark, Brienne of Tarth. You know Brienne of fucking Tarth. Yeah. I'm down for that. Oh man, so alright, so I'm gonna pass off a question to the audience. Is there a possibility for a Jon Snow series? Like, is there a decent possibility? Because anything's possible if done correctly. It's just there's a very large margin of error. Is it possible that a Jon Snow, or hold up, but let's rephrase this. Is it feasible that a Jon Snow series could fix the way you feel about the final season of Game of Thrones? Because that is a lot to fix. Honestly, I also enjoyed it as well. Cool dino scenes. This is Chris commenting again. New dino scenes, cool new dinos, which was interesting, and some action scenes were cool. Yeah, it's a popcorn movie. Yeah, like, some were a little short, which I wish lasted longer. I think that the spectacle, and I said this in the regular episode, I think that it's good that a movie like that, that is a spectacle, does well. And I feel like it should do well. Just because I'm not going to necessarily watch it until it's on the streaming doesn't mean other people shouldn't. I feel like there should be open criticism of the things that they didn't execute well. Because then the next time they choose to do something like that, they see how well they did, even though they got that criticism. And if they follow the criticism, theoretically, they could do better. Like, that I totally get. And I think that spectacle movies should still exist, because then that's what gets regular people out to the movie theaters, which then gives Hollywood studios more money to theoretically potentially do more risky movie making, so that we can get the Fight Clubs and the, you know, the artsy movies that go back into theaters that don't just go straight to streaming services. So yeah, I think that it's great that you really dug it. I think that a lot of people will. I think that the last movie that I went to that was spectacle over content was the Fast and Furious 9 movie. F9, I guess, is what it was technically called. And that really soured me on spectacle movies a little bit. I have a mild appreciation for the Fast and Furious franchise. Anything beyond the first, honestly, just the first movie. The second movie was not very good, and the third movie was a little bit better, but still not as great as that first one. But I put those in the same kind of category. They're spectacle over content, and those kind of movies should do well. And they're not necessarily for somebody who's as overly critical of their entertainment as I am, which is fine. That I fully admit that stuff like that. Like, you can ask my girlfriend. I'm fairly annoying to go to the movies with, because I point out really dumb things, like how they missed the focus on that shot, or there's no purpose for them to have shot that insert because it doesn't accent anything like it should if you're shooting an insert like that. You know, it's just really stupid, nerdy things like that. or comment on the soundtrack or the way that the audio works or how it's obviously ADR. Like, yeah, I'm a handful. I think spectacle movies need to do well. The other side of that argument, though, is that yes, spectacle movies should do well, but does it have to be a continuation movie? Like, that's the other thing that has me kind of bumming about the Jurassic World movies, is that they wouldn't exist without Jurassic Park. And so that's really lazy filmmaking, because you're cashing in on nostalgia bait. And I think that we as a movie-going society are less inclined to buy into nostalgia bait these days. So again, they could have had an even bigger box office potentially if they had gone with a different they could have done a new dinosaur franchise that was not Jurassic Park, that was a different premise on how you get dinosaurs into the real world, and, you know, maybe borrowed a little bit from Jurassic Park. Obviously, it would have been an homage, if you will, but I think that making the direct continuation of that series is not exactly the best choice either. But again, it's not for somebody like me, so it is what it is. So yeah, super awesome that you dug it. What do you think about the director, the moving forward, I guess is more appropriate, moving forward with the Ghostbusters animated movie? Sounds like the animated movie is going to be even more different from the animated series. Like we talked about last week, the animated series is going to be more in line. It's going to be set in the future, more in line with them as cosmic janitors in a way, which I find very humorous. But the movie is going to be a similar feel to the live action, the first two live action movies, just with a different cast of characters is what it sounds like. So how do you feel about that one, Chris? And again, delay is a thing. So we're back to HBO, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones. We finished this because I asked the question, is it probable that we're going to get a fix to season 8 of Game of Thrones? I don't think so. I think there is a slim window that's going to happen, but whatever. Tom Hardy. Oh, let's get into this one. Tom Hardy teases Venom 3, possibly with Spider-Man. Venom 3 is underway as Tom Hardy teases the script on social media, revealing the story is by him and Kelly Marcel, with the script written by Marcel and the writer of the first two movies. Okay, cool. There's at least some consistency there. Image posted on Instagram features a doodle of Venom, the tongue becoming the three. That's cool. I dig it. Assuming that actually does make its way. No, not series, not animated series, man. The Ghostbusters animated movie. It's going to be separate from the animated series. We talked about the series last week. You actually broke that to me because I didn't know about the Ghostbusters Day announcements. So getting into research for the proper episode that I posted on Wednesday, I found that not only are we getting the animated series, we are also getting the live action continuation, the sequel to Afterlife, and we're also getting another movie, another Ghostbusters movie, but it's going to be an animated movie separate from the animated series, and that just got a director. I don't remember who the director is. I would have to pull up my notes from the last episode, which I mean, you can go back and watch the last episode if you want, but yeah, the important part is there is a director, so they're moving forward. Seems a little bit faster with the movie than with the series. So, some fans also think the red color and the S shape of the Venom tongue might mean Spider-Man will be part of the flick. I don't think that's what that is. Are we really grasping at straws that hard, nerds? Like, is that the situation we're in? Venom was at one time talked about appearing Spider-Man No Way Home. now we're just getting to the history. Yeah, whatever. That's not what that is. That's a tongue in animated things is red, especially when you're working with what looks like Microsoft Paint. So, no, I don't think that's what he's teasing with that. HBO Max shows off Scavenger's Reign adult animated series trailer. Don't care. Squid Game comes to... Oh, yeah, I saw this. I kind of reserved this for today because this actually broke... when I was doing research for the Wednesday episode, but I wanted to talk about it on the live stream just because I didn't feel like I could do it. There's not a whole lot to it, so there's no reason to try and put a whole bunch of research behind it. So I just wanted to talk about that real briefly. Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm also excited for the animated movie. Yeah, it's super exciting. Like, if they can... So there's this kind of leads into a bigger conversation back over to the Ghostbusters thing. Sorry, we're bouncing back and forth because chat delay. But this is a bigger conversation in saturation of the market. We're kind of reaching critical mass. We have reached, I think, critical mass with the Marvel movies. So now it seems that everyone else is trying to also reach critical mass. So like we got Joker 2, which I didn't think was going to ever happen, but it made $1 billion on a $70 million budget. So of course they're going to try and talk, Joaquin into doing another movie, because I'm sure Todd Phillips was not a hard sell, because yeah, sure, I'll make another $1 billion movie. But like DC is a different situation. I feel like that they're kind of a side conversation to the saturation. We have people, Marvel movies are starting to do less numbers than they once were. Since Infinity War, they've done significantly less. I don't think we've had $1 billion. Oh no, aside from Spider-Man No Way Home, which is technically a Sony movie, so I guess that technically I'm still right. We haven't had $1 billion Marvel movie since Infinity War. And I don't see us doing another $1 billion Marvel movie probably until Fantastic Four would be my first guess. But that's because a number of factors, and I think not the least of which being that there's too many things going on and people can't consume all the content they want to, so they're picking and choosing. And if it's not a character that they've heard of, as evidenced by the Miss Marvel series, if it's not a character that they've heard of, they're not going to waste their time. So is the Ghostbusters franchise, are they going to go for broke on that? And is that going to be detrimental? Because they seriously announced... They announced comic books on Ghostbusters Day. They announced the two movies... The new animated series, that just seems like a whole lot over the next 3 years. And while I personally think it's going to be great, I also am not super average when it comes to my media consumption, because I focus on the nerdy stuff, and I don't think a lot of people do. So is this potentially a bad thing for Ghostbusters, because there's going to be too much Ghostbusters and people aren't going to know where to start or which one they want to see or XYZ? So that's the next one I'm passing off is, while it is super exciting that we have a whole bunch of Ghostbusters coming down the road, is there a double-edged sword here? Is it also potentially a bad thing for the brand? All right. Back to Squid Game reality series. Netflix is bringing a super... Sorry. Netflix is bringing its super popular Squid Game series to real life in the form of a real-life reality competition series. Squid Game The Challenge will mirror the show and feature the largest cast and lump sum cash prize in reality history. As just like the series, 456 real players will enter the game in pursuit of a life-changing reward and $5.6 million. As they compete through a series of games inspired by the original show, plus surprising new additions, their strategies, alliances, and characters will be put to the test while competitors are eliminated around them. So they're not obviously going to be killing people, but that seems like a logical extension. And people also, the thing that I thought was really interesting about this is Mr. Beast did this already. Had his own version of the Squid Game Challenge and gave away a whole bunch of money and you know, it was one of the biggest productions in YouTube history. And it's one of the most viewed videos in YouTube history. And he got so much criticism because people are saying he missed the point. It's like, no, he's giving needy people lots of money. I don't think he missed the point. I think you missed the point of what he's doing. But that's, again, an irrelevant conversation at this point because it's done and over with. So are people also going to be mad at Netflix for the same reason? Like, they produced the original series. Why wouldn't they get the same? I don't know. I just think it's funny. So it just sounds like fun. I think they honestly should have. I think it would have been a more interesting way to do it. I'm not going to say should, but I think it would have been more interesting if they had launched with the reality series first and then come out with the dark series that they released initially, the Korean series. I think that would have been a really interesting way to go about it, but I still think it's a cool thing that they're doing it either way. All right, so Amber Heard rumor for Aquaman. Oh boy. Amber Heard Mira getting recast for Aquaman 2 claims rumor. No, it's not. I don't know how many times we have to kill these rumors, but Christopher says, I don't know, man. I've recently heard that the 2016 Ghostbusters almost ruined Chris Hemsworth's career. I don't know if it would have ruined Chris Hemsworth's career. I think he was the safest of all of them. Kristen Wiig also pretty safe, but the rest of that cast has not done anything really noteworthy since. Leslie Jones has not been in anything that has done any sort of significant numbers in the box office. She's no longer on SNL, so she's not a part of the conversation anymore. What's her name? Oh Lord, it was just on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna have to Google it. I can't think of her name. Good night. She was also on on SNL. Kate McKinnon. There it is. Kate McKinnon also hasn't done anything really overly, like, she's had a couple of cameo roles. She was in that Nicolas Cage movie, and it was really just cameo. She's not on SNL anymore, so again, she's out of the conversation as far as pop culture is concerned, it would seem. I Hemsworth is a Marvel guy. Like, I'm sure it's hard for him to get other roles now to some degree because of the 2016 Ghostbusters, because like that was he was a himbo and that was a really bad movie. Like, aside from whatever politics you want to imbue it with, it was just objectively poorly made. It was a terrible script. It was an obvious cash grab on a property that the writer didn't have an understanding for. So, like, I think Hemsworth was safe. I think it probably was a little bit of a speed bump on his career, but by and large, he was safe and Kristen Wiig was safe. But the rest of that cast has definitely suffered. Though even Kristen Wiig hasn't really done a whole lot since then either, so I could be wrong about her, but Hemsworth obviously still has a booming career. But I mean, that also kind of feeds into the saturation, because with that movie confusing people who aren't active fans of these properties, or of this property specifically, that leads to the saturation of the market. That becomes an issue, that becomes well, that movie wasn't very good, so why would I want to go see these other new movies if that one was bad? Which I think led to a lot of why Afterlife didn't do as good as it possibly could have in the movie theaters, because a lot of people were like, well, no. So, yeah, I think you have an interesting point, although I think slightly misguided with the Chris Hemsworth angle. But yeah, that's also very much a consideration. 2016 could have derailed the property altogether. We could have no more Ghostbusters because of that movie. So yeah, I think that's an interesting thing to consider. All right, so back to the Amber Heard rumor. It's again claimed that Amber Heard is getting removed from Aquaman 2 and that Mera will be recast, while at the same time, it's also said the actress still remains in the movie in a small role. What? That doesn't make any sense. Latest rumor comes from Just Jared, a site known for posting celebrity images taken by paparazzi, which is owned by Townsquare Media, blah, 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 blah. Site claims a source has filled them in that, quote, Warner Brothers decided to recast Amber Heard's role after screen testing the movie. They're going to be doing research with Jason Momoa and Nicole Kidman. The source adds that a new actress will play Mera in Aquaman 2 and any future DC films. Recently, there's an update. Let's go to the update. Update. A spokesperson for Amber Heard has filled in entertainmentweekly.com denying that the actress has been cut and that Mera will be recast. The rumor mill continues as it has from day one. Inaccurate, insensitive, and slightly insane. Inaccurate, yes. Insensitive, maybe. Insane, yeah, okay, I'll allow that one too. yeah, because there's no way. They're so far along in post, and she has granted it's a secondary role, I'm sure, but it's still relatively important to the overall plot of the movie. I have no idea what the plot of the movie is, but judging by the direction they were going with the first movie, it seems to make sense that she would still be a pretty significant factor in the overall plot of the second movie. So any rumor that says that she's getting cut, that they're completely removing her from the movie, or that she's being recast is just a bunch of mean nerds wishful thinking, because as much as I don't think she contributed a whole lot to the first movie, and I doubt she's going to really contribute much to the second movie, she's still there, and it's still way too far along the process for them to do any of those things. Will she be recast in future movies? That's possible. Will they potentially just write Mera out for a while and not use the character? That's a little bit more likely, so that people can wet their palates and kind of get her out of their mind as that character. Then they'll bring somebody new in. So, yeah, that's just a little silly. More than a little silly, I would say. Top Gun Maverick box office blows by Doctor Strange 2 in 18 days. Joker 2, Lady Gaga confirmed. Oh, see, now that's relatively new, because I did not see a confirmation when I was doing research for Wednesday. THR offers up that Lady Gaga is in early talks to join Joaquin Phoenix, and director co-writer Todd Phillips has shown the script to the studio, which was teased on social media. Folia, duh. Okay, so it's not saying for sure that it's going to be Harley Quinn. It's just that Lady Gaga is going to be there. Oh, and since I didn't write this down in the regular episode, let's do this real quick, just because it's going to bug the crap out of me until we translate it. Let's Google Translate, because I know French to a certain degree. It's just really rusty these days, so folie à deux. We're going French. Where is F? C D E F French. Okay. Madness for two. Okay, so I If I had taken the guess that was in my head, I would have not been wrong. I just didn't want to do that and have 10 people in the comments. Oh, no, it means this. So, madness for two. So, Joaquin has yet to close the deal with Warner Brothers for the movie. So, it still potentially could not happen. Or they could recast the role of Arthur Fleck or just bring in a brand new Joker altogether. Producer Bradley Cooper? Huh. Musical sequel. See, I think that is really weird. Joker 2 will be a musical sequel, according to rumor, which, while a surprise, does make sense as Lady Gaga starred in A Star Is Born. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. The title revealed by Phillips also references an identical or similar mental disorder that affects two or more individuals. So it seems the reference to Joaquin Phoenix Joker and Lady Gaga Harley Quinn. I mean, that I did not know that was a thing either. So that makes a little bit more sense. So I might be changing my mind on the way we interpreted that rumor for the Wednesday episode, because it seems like a more interesting direction, at the very least, to introduce a second Joker and not Harley this early into that version of the story. So, I don't know. That's just me. We're moving right along. I feel like there was a Halo rumor that I wanted to get to. Let's see if Comic Book has it. WWE. Not to disparage anybody, I it's soap opera for men. It's silly. But if you like it, you like it, and I'm not talking ill of you. I'm just not a fan. Oh, come on. I guess I'm just going to have to put proper research into it, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday. I know there's something crazy going on with the Halo release. So, I guess stay tuned to the Wednesday show, and we'll get into that, because I'm very much into that. So, oh God, let's go look at this. This is. I apologize to anybody listening in post, but we got to take a look at this Winnie the Pooh nonsense. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. We have an update about that movie. And it's coming from the Nerdist. And we have... Ta-da! Oh, the horror movie. Because Winnie the Pooh is now public domain. We have the bloody mask that they're using for their version of Pooh. That's hilarious. That is really, really funny. And there's multiple masks. It looks like we're going to see multiple versions of maybe Winnie the Pooh's family, possibly. Because there's like a brown one right there next to it. And then like a white one in the further back in the shot. That's very interesting, but... So the blood around the mouth, is he going to be eating people? Is he going to be like a legitimate bear? That's hilarious. Oh my God, that's so funny. All right, movie news on Comic Book. Turning Red manga announced. Yeah, don't care. Paul Walker to receive posthumous star on Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's pretty cool. Not cool enough that we're going to read the article, but still pretty cool. Chris Evans supports Haley Atwell's Captain Carter. Why wouldn't he? Aladdin's Guy Ritchie developing Hercules live-action movie. Of course this is going to be the next one that they're doing, but let's read. Deadline reports the director of Disney's Aladdin live-action remake is overseeing a similar treatment for Hercules. I still honestly haven't watched the live-action Aladdin. I really like Guy Ritchie. I've seen pretty much, I think, literally all of his other movies, just not Aladdin for whatever reason. I also really like Aladdin. So, the animated one, anyway. Joe and Anthony Russo are producing the Hercules movie through their production company, AGBO. Search for writers is ongoing following the first draft by Dave Callahan, who wrote Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Guy Ritchie's Aladdin was a box office hit when it was released. I didn't know it crossed $1 billion. That's cool. I really want to watch it. I have no reason why I haven't watched it yet, so my apologies, but Winnie the Pooh multiverse. Oh man. That's hilarious. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh multiverse. He's public domain, so like anyone can make a Winnie the Pooh movie now. But, oh, so I did see, as I was researching last Wednesday's episode, I did see something that was very interesting about the public domaining of Winnie the Pooh. So there were two different, what is the word? Copyrights? That's not the word I'm looking for, but that's the word we're going to go with, even though I know it's wrong, so please don't correct me in post. But there were two different copyrights. The one that went into public domain is the original Winnie the Pooh that Disney bought back in the 50s. That version of the story has now existed for 95 years, and that's the version that is now public domain. So the difference between the original and the Disney version is really silly. I mean, there's a couple of contextual differences, but the biggest difference is the original Winnie the Pooh didn't wear a shirt, and the Disney Winnie the Pooh wore the red shirt. So that was one of the things that they did to change it to make it their own when they released their version of the story. So that version of Winnie the Pooh, you can't do a movie with, but the original version of Winnie, it's really confusing and silly, and American copyright law is ridiculous, but that is, yeah, Winnie the Pooh multiverse. I love it. That's hilarious. yeah, so makes sense. So fans, even actors, have shown their interest in live action. Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, among most popular actors being nominated to play hot-headed underworld ruler Hades. Ariana Grande has teased interest for Hercules for Meg. Sure, why not? Susan Egan did the voice for Meg. Danny DeVito did Phil. James Woods. Why not have James Woods come back for her for Hades? That would be great. James Woods is a pretty good actor. I'm okay with that. I don't necessarily think Jim Carrey would come out of his quote unquote retirement for that, but what else is interesting in the news? Anakin Skywalker continues trending as fans want more Hayden Christensen after Obi-Wan. I need to catch up on Obi-Wan, apparently, because I still have only watched the first three episodes. I keep hearing very mixed things about it so far. And from the first three episodes, I understand why they're so mixed. Like, there are definitely elements of that series that are great, but there's the more broad strokes that are just not very good at all, actually. The fact that they're breaking two different canons at once is significant. Their own canon plus the original canon created by George Lucas. So yeah, I don't know. I will have to watch it and reevaluate after all the episodes are in my head. Chris Evans still desperate to make Little Shop of Horrors happen. I think that would be a lot of fun. Planet of the Apes headed to Marvel in 2023. What? Oh, that's a comic book. All right, let's go. Let's check that out. When Walt Disney Company acquired 20th Century Fox back in 2019, this brought with it the rights to a number of beloved franchises, including the Planet of the Apes. Various live-action projects in that franchise have been reported as being in development, and we've covered them all. I think there's two, actually, specifically, and we've talked about both of them, and both of them are languishing in production hell, pre-production hell. Marvel Comics announced that it will explore that mythology with an all-new comic series. That could be great. I really like the Planet of the Apes mythology. I think that's a lot of fun. The reveal came with teaser art from Salvador Larroca, but rather than being the announcement of a specific series, now that has shades of the Tim Burton movie in it even. Huh. Well. Does it reference the Tim Burton? No. But it says it's coming out 2023. That's pretty cool. I like the way it looks. I like the Tim Burton movie aesthetically. The actual practice of that movie is not very good. But the aesthetics are great. That Tim Burton does great aesthetics regardless. Scream 6, Emma Roberts says she would return to the franchise. The only person who's not going to is Neve Campbell. Okay. Thor 4 was always going to include Naked God of Thunder. Don't care. Lightyear pushed Pixar to infinity beyond where Toy Story went before. Yeah, you're not really grabbing me today there, comic book. Mike Tyson weighs... Oh, okay. All right, clickbait. I gotcha. Mike Tyson weighs in on Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. While appearing on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Tyson was asked if he saw the infamous slap heard around the world during the Oscars, to which former heavyweight champ confirmed that he did, calling it interesting. I mean, for those that don't know, Mike Tyson was recently in a little bit of a scuffle in public as well. He was being harassed on an airplane and made the guy regret it. and was taken to court over it and won. So that's cool. Tyson had more thoughts to share on the matter when Kimmel went on to say that the last time he had been that shocked during a live broadcast event was when Mike Tyson bit off a piece of Evander Holyfield's ear. I don't know if Will Smith felt it was necessary to do it. If he's not shocked, I'm not shocked, Tyson said, and let that be it. I have trouble interpreting what he means with that. I don't know if he felt it was necessary to do it. If he's not shocked, I'm not shocked. Okay. Tyson was the last person we expect to be clutching pearls over the fact that Will Smith hit Chris Rock. After all, Tyson made an entire career. Yeah, okay, whatever. Clickbait did not pay off this time. My apologies. Piglet on your left. Avengers Assemble. Oh, I'm going to see. Yeah. There is some great images of Piglet. I'm going to go see if I can find that. Again, sorry to the people listening in post, but I got to do it. I got to do it. All right, so... Oops. I can spell. Winnie the Pooh. Blood and Honey. Piglets. And then images. So this... In case you haven't seen it yet, this is what Piglet is gonna look like. Oh my. Open image. Where are you? Open link. I don't want an open link. I want an open image. Open image in new tab. There we go. This is Piglet right here. This is Piglet. So this is Winnie and this is Pig. Oh, I just realized Winnie the Pooh is wearing a red shirt. They might get a letter from Disney if the breakdown I saw of the differences in copyrights holds true. But yeah, that's what Piglet's going to look like. He looks more like a warthog than a pig, but whatever. All right, back to the news. Grant Morrison reveals two Marvel Studio projects they pitched. Why haven't we come across it? Because we're not in comic book news. So let's go to comic book news. Because as we reported on Wednesday that Tim Sale There it is. Tim Sale was in the hospital, went in Tuesday morning, I believe, and passed yesterday. Eisner-winning comic book artist Tim Sale has passed away just days after being admitted to the hospital with reportedly serious health issues. They're still not saying what it is that took him. Cause of death has not been revealed. Two different sources say that he passed away last night with his wife and kids by his side. So at least there's that. He was 66 years old, did the art for some of the best Batman stuff ever, like Batman... Was it Haunted Night is great. Long Halloween is iconic. They have more lists. Dark Victory, also another good Batman book. I have all three of those because Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb did amazing work together. Ugh, that sucks to say that in the past tense. Catwoman, When in Rome. I really like the way he draws Catwoman, too, I think. And if you played the Arkham series, I believe it was the first game. One of the statues that you could get was a homage to Tim Sale's Catwoman. And one of the costumes, the purple Catwoman costume with the big ears, that was an homage to Tim Sale as well. Wow, it's a heavy sadness I must announce that Tim Sale passed away today. Someone who is running his official Twitter account now. He passed with the love of his life beside him and loves all of you very much. Please share photos and stories under this post as we hope to share them with the community. Sale was born May 1st, 1956 in Ithaca, New York. Spent most of his early life in Seattle, Washington. He attended University of Washington for 2 years before moving to New York City to attend the School of Visual Arts and enroll in the comic book workshop run by legendary Marvel artist John Buscema. In addition to working with Loeb in the comic space, he also collaborated with Loeb in TV, where the two both worked on Heroes. Oh, that's right! I totally forgot about that. Also collaborated with indie cartoonist Eric Powell to create on-camera work with precognitive artist Isaac Mendez. Yep. As well as other artists on the show. Sale also created the font used for the series captions and transitions. Man. Font, rather. Sorry, I can read. He earned his Eisner in 99 for Devil's Advocate, written by Matt Wagner. Grendel Black and White and Red number one. He also got Eisner's for Best Graphic Album reprint for the Batman Long Halloween and Best Pencil / Ink for Superman for All Seasons and Grendel Black and White and Red. Condolences. Man, that's... Let's go look up just because we have to. We're going to go look up some Tim Sale Long Halloween. I'm going to go look up some Tim Sale art. Actually, no, not Long Halloween. Let's say Tim Sale art. Images. So, I'm just trying to see if I can find. I mean, there's... That is the Batman of the 80s. Like, there's no two ways about that. That is what Batman looked like in the 80s. There's his black and white of his Catwoman. Let's do... Tim Sale, Batman, Arkham, Asylum. Oh, come on. Do I really have to type in video game? Shouldn't you just know? I guess it's DuckDuckGo and not Google, so video game. Fine. Let's do Catwoman. Arkham Asylum. Tim Sale. A little better. Like, you can totally see how so many artists were influenced by the way he drew Batman. Like, some of my favorite Batman work comes from The Long Halloween. We're apparently not going to be able to find that Catwoman, and I'm I would love to be able to find it, but we're spending a little bit more time on this than I anticipated, so it kind of is what it is, I guess. That's Joker. Ugh, it's such a great artist. So missing so much. Ugh. Tim Sale variant cover for a Rebirth number 17. Iconic, man. Iconic. Also from The Long Halloween right here. Yeah, that sucks. Not a Puma hybrid. Oh, thank you for bringing a little bit of levity to the moment there, Chris. Oh, a Pumba hybrid. Like Timon and Pumba, you know. All right, so we are coming up on our hour for the news. That means that I want to close out the hour with Music Stiff. I need to find that link real quick. Where is it? Bookmarks, where are you? There we go. Bookmarks, gimme metal. Hey, they actually posted one this week. And they posted one from a couple of days ago. That was the day after we did the last episode. Yep. Okay, the last live episode. So we got two of these bad boys to go over. Okay. So just so you can see what I'm talking about, let's move it over here. R.I.P. Tim Sale. That's a lot of suck. All right, so we're doing top tracks from last week first. Let's do that. Going over Death White. Don't know if I've heard of them. White Sleep. Oh, I also wanted to see, before we get into this, let's see if we can find the Devil's Dozen. Serious XM Liquid Metal, because I've listened to most of the songs in the Devil's Dozen, save for one, because every time they announce it, I turn it off, and that's the Lamb of God song, because we're going to do a proper reaction video for that very soon. Featured show. Devil's Dozen. There we go. Why don't they just post the damn list? Okay, so how am I going to do this? How are we going to find Devil's Dozen? That's from 2017. That's not what we're looking for. Oh, maybe. Facebook page. Port of covers. Bolt Thrower is the history lesson this week. Bolt Thrower is kind of meh. Talking with the Callous Dow Boys. I don't want Corridor of Covers. Gah, why? Why do they suck? Why do they suck? Now we're into stuff from April. Okay, fine. 10 years ago. Interesting. All right. I didn't anticipate doing this, but let's take a look at the from 2012. It's an interesting array of things. Starting at the bottom, As I Lay Dying was number 12, Paralyzed. I don't know the song. That was pre-prison. That's funny. And then Megadeth, Never Dead, Mastodon, Spectralight, Orange Goblin. I have no idea who that is. Not a usual occurrence. Gojira of Blood and Salt, of course they're on there. Goat Horror, of course they're also on there. Collapse of In Eternal Worth, Every Time I Die, Underwater Bimbos from Outer Space. I'm not familiar with the song, but obviously I know Every Time I Die. Earth on Hell from Anthrax, Battle Cross, Push Pull Destroy. I actually saw Battle Cross. They put on an okay live show, but I'm not surprised by the fact that they're not in the current conversation when it comes to heavy music, because they were pretty generic. Cannibal Corpse, Demented Aggression, Machine Head, I Am Hell. That's also pre Machine Head rearranging their entire lineup. And Lamb of God, number one, Ghost Walking. That's kind of similar to what the Devil's Dozen looks like today. But of course I can't find it because dumb, but whatever. All right, so back to top tracks according to Gimme Metal on metalinjection.com. Sorption, I have never heard of them either. Volcandra, Talon 4. There we go. Halo Effect, Needless End. These guys used to be in Flames, like two or three of these guys. Him and him, used to be in Flames. I think it's just the two of them. And Soilwork, that's what he was from. Anyway, they're pretty good. Halo Effect is pretty good. Check them out. Psycroptic is also actually fairly good. I'm not going to say they're great, but they're pretty good. Rend Asunder, I haven't listened to that new track yet, but... oh, wow, that was surprisingly short. And then the one from yesterday, Psy. Oh, that's cool. Carrion Veil, Ring of... actually, have heard this one. I'm not familiar with the band aside from this song, but it's a listenable song. So, I mean, if you like the death tech thrash, I guess, then check it out. Phobophilic, Those Which Stare, they repeated the Carrion Veil link. Whoops. Psy is... a Japanese band that I honestly haven't heard of for a while, so that's really cool that they put out some new music. Japan's Psy are back! Long enduring avant black metal project of Mirai Kawashima long caused several severe head scratching among first timers. Yeah, it's a listen, that is for sure. Injecting the most outside black metal influences you could imagine, cobbling into grandiose, truly unique work. Yeah. If you want a challenge, if you want to challenge yourself with some very interesting artsy black metal, that is definitely a band to listen to. Hammer King, Pariah Is My Name. I know the band in name only. Nothing to write home about as far as I can remember. Atramentum, The Black Hole. God, I wish we could listen to these in stream so that we could do like an active participation kind of reaction situation, but because that would be like a whole nother 20-30 minutes worth of content that we could get out of this, but and it would be like right up my alley because I really like doing the analysis reaction stuff, because I feel like I have something to contribute to the conversation. So, yeah. Some new music to listen to if you are into the heavier side of things right there. We just went through the top heavy tracks according to Metal Injection's Gimme Metal for the last 2 weeks. And that puts us at an hour, nerds. So, that means... that we have hit the middle of the show, which is time for me to go refill my water and, you know, feed the dogs and whatnot. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. If you are listening in post, then this is the end of the news portion. So thank you very much for joining. Mr. Ortiz, if you would like to stick around, since you are the only active member of chat, I would appreciate it. If not, I totally understand. But those of you, again, listening in post, we will see you in the regular show on Wednesday. Or if you're watching in post, because this goes up in a number of different places. We'll see you on the regular show for Wednesday. And yeah, all of the fun times. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining. We will see you in the next one. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. Stay tuned, those of you here in the chat. We will be back. It'll probably take me about 5-10 minutes to get the dogs fed and re-up my throat lubrication. So, we'll see you in a minute.